Well, good morning. Welcome to the 2026 preview. We are looking at, this morning we're looking at something different, which is what we're going to do the next year. It's important that as a church that we have vision. If a church doesn't have vision, it will have a funeral. You know, you may not know this, but every church has two options. You can either have a future or you can have a funeral. Churches that are directing themselves towards a funeral are typically churches that don't have a vision for where they're going or what they're going to do or where they want to arrive. And a church without a destination will, well, they're going to hit it every time. The question is what will they reach? But a church that has a destination, a church that says, hey, this is where we want to go, this is what we want to do, this is how we want to go about it, that's a church that has the opportunity to have a future. And I want us to have a future. And it's important as a church that we know where we're going. And so this time last year, I presented to you our 2025 emphasis. Now, our emphasis are not a replacement of other things that we do. We will continue to have Christ-centered worship. We will continue to have Bible-based preaching. We will continue to emphasize to the greatest degree possible discipleship of the individual, discipleship in the small group, discipleship with the corporate body. We'll continue to focus on discipleship because ultimately we're not called to make processes. We're not called to make procedures. We're not called to make projects. We're not called to make a product. We're called to make disciples. And discipleship happens within relationships. The church is uniquely called to that. But my calling is to pastor this church. My calling is to pray for the church, to pray to the Lord, to pray for my family, to pray for us. My calling is to pastor the people. You have entrusted me with the care of this congregation. The Lord has called me to care for this congregation. And so I care for the congregation, providing pastoral care. Sometimes it's directly, other times it's through our ministry team, which, by the way, our ministry team is phenomenal. We have guys that are on call 24 hours a day, every single day of the year. No stop, no break. Every morning I wake up and I check pastoral updates. Usually something's happened every single night. And so providing pastoral care, either directly or through our ministry team, through our deacons, providing pastoral care, and then preaching the word. Like, God's people need to be edified through the preaching and teaching of God's word. But we've also had these emphasis, the items that I wanted to bring to the forefront for our church over the past year. And I want to recap those, what we emphasized in 2025. The first was biblical literacy. We aimed in 2025 to increase biblical literacy among our congregation and our community through a Bible reading plan called the Bible Story, whereby we walked from Genesis to Revelation, story by story through God's word. We wanted people to not only know where their Bibles were, but we wanted people to know what was in their Bibles. And so we've encouraged everyone to read their Bible. That plan is ongoing. We will continue to preach through it through the remainder of the year. And we're reading God's word, increasing biblical literacy, making sure that everyone understands what is in God's word, seeking to. The second part was real relationships. We wanted to encourage people to have relationships in two ways. One, we wanted to foster real relationships through life group engagement. Life groups are basically like Sunday school class, but a little bit more. Sunday school is about biblical content, teaching people what God's word says. Here at Lone Oak, we have life groups. It's biblical content balanced with Christian community. We want to teach people what God's word says, but we also want to encourage them to be around God's people. And so we encouraged relationships over this past year. But another reason that we really wanted to push relationships is because we knew that our church in 2024, when we were thinking through this year's vision, we knew that our church was on the precipice of experiencing some extraordinarily disruptive construction. In case you don't know, we're in a construction project, and it's extraordinarily disruptive. Parking, I lost my parking spot. Never had one, but if I did, I would have lost it. Parking's been atrocious. You guys have been so patient with it. And I appreciate that you've been flexible. But looking in 24, I talked to the deacons. I was like, you know, guys, we really need to build relationships, focusing intentionally on building relationships so that when this disruptive project takes off, our people will still feel comfortable coming in the side door of the church. You know, when you get to know somebody, before you get to know them, maybe on a first introduction, and you go over to someone's house for the first time, you usually will park somewhere appropriate in the driveway, and then you'll walk up the front sidewalk, and you'll go to their front door, and you'll knock on the front door or push the doorbell to alert them that you're there. And you may do that for a few times, but eventually, once you get to know them, you're not going to the front door anymore. You're going to the side door. And forget knocking. Right, like you're going in their garage, you're just busting in there saying, "Hi, I'm here," probably grabbing a drink out of the refrigerator in the garage on your way in because you feel comfortable with them, you feel at home. And our goal was to build relationships so that people felt comfortable at Lone Oak. Some of you have always felt that way, but others of you are somewhat recent attenders, and we wanted to establish a type of relationship where you felt comfortable coming in the side door of the church. So we've emphasized real relationships. Finally, we emphasized member mobilization. When I got here, we would have, in our Sunday morning services, we would have commissioning services where a mission team would come up, we would announce where they're going, and we would pray over them to send them out. And it never failed. Every single time we commissioned a group to go on a mission trip, someone would come up to me after the service and they'd say, "Oh, Brother Scott, I wished I would have known we had a team going to Cuba or to Chile or to Chicago." It's ironic they all start with C. Or to Kenya, doesn't start with a C. I would have loved to have gone on that trip. And so I started thinking, what a great spirit our church has. We need to come up with a better way to get people from the pew to participation. We need to develop greater avenues or more clearly defined avenues. And so over the past year, our team has developed and we've launched what we call mission applications. If you want to serve in the church, that's ministry. Serving on a greeter team, volunteering in a different area, becoming a part of a committee or another leadership team or another ministry outlet, you can go online or you can go to the app and fill out an online, basically it's interest to serve survey that notifies our team, hey, when we have an opening in this area, they want to be a part of it. Or we have an online missions application. It's a very simple way to say, "I want to serve, I want to go." And you tell us, "Hey, if I have experience in the medical field, or I have experience on the international mission field, or I have experience in the national field, but I feel the Lord, I sense the Lord is calling me to go to these locations or to go to these regions, and if a trip comes up, would you let me know?" And so our team is developing a database of people that have shown interest in serving. So now when we have mission trips that come up, instead of people coming to us after the fact saying, "I wished I would have known," we can go to them before the fact and say, "We want you to know." And then they can decide whether or not the trip is the right one for them at the right time. And so over the past year, we've implemented these different emphases and we've been pushing forward. And it was about this time last year that I introduced those to you. But today I want to introduce you to our 2026 emphases. These are the areas that we want to emphasize in this coming year. Some of them will become ongoing parts of our church life. Others will be just for the season of where we are as individuals and as a church. Number one is scripture memorization. Scripture memorization. We aim to shape the hearts and habits of our congregation through a church-wide initiative shaped by scripture, designed to help every believer memorize, understand, and apply the Bible with confidence and joy. We aim to shape the hearts and habits of our congregation through a church-wide initiative, which is called Shaped by Scripture, designed to help every believer memorize, understand, and apply the Bible with confidence and with joy. This past year, we sought to guide the church to not only know where their Bibles were, but what was in their Bibles. This coming year, we have a program that we've developed called Shaped by Scripture. It's a curriculum. It's a Bible. It's a Bible study guide. It's a Bible understanding guide. It's also a Bible verse memorization guide that we want to encourage you to walk through. We'll give you. I'll share more with you in just a second about the themes. But what we want to do is we want to encourage the church to not only know God's word here, but to hold God's word here. We want you to know God's word here, but we want you to hold God's word here. Psalm chapter 119, verse 11 says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." See, God's word is of irreplaceable value in our life. But if we have God's word, but we're not holding God's word, then we can't use God's word in the way that God's word was designed to be used. If we have it, but we don't hold it, then we're not keeping it readily available. And so we want to encourage the church to know God's word and to hold God's word. And the way is through memorization of scripture. Now, I don't know if any of you are good at remembering things. I'm not good at remembering things at all. Names are terrible. People are like, how do you know everybody's name? I don't. I just all call them the same name, right? Nobody knows. It's like, hey, never finish the name because I can't remember. But memorizing scripture, I think that if we work at it, we'll find that we're far more capable at remembering God's word than we're giving ourselves credit for. Not only that, but I believe that if we understand God's word, it will be more than just a mental exercise, but it will become a heart language where we know God's word, but we're holding it. Therefore, we're capable of communicating it. And God's word is so important. And in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, the devil came into the garden, or the serpent came into the garden, and his temptation was questioning God's word. Did he really say? See, I'm not saying that Adam and Eve wouldn't have fallen, but I think that if both of them would have been like, I know for certain what God's word is, I think things might have changed it a little. Mount Sinai, when God sent Moses up on the mountain to give him the Ten Commandments, he wanted him to write down so that the people would never forget his word. After Israel was brought out of Babylonian captivity, Ezra stood up, and from morning till night, with all the people standing in the middle of the rain, he read God's word from beginning to end, lest the people forget. In the New Testament, Jesus, he went up to the Mount of Temptation for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat. He was fasting. And the devil came to him to tempt him. And guess what Jesus, the Son of God, used to defend himself? God's word. Whenever heresy entered the church in the New Testament, and the apostles would write to counteract false teachers, do you know what they righted the ship with? They righted it with God's word. You see, if you have God's word, but you're not holding God's word, then you're not going to be equipped to do what God has called you to do. And so we as a church must have God's word, and we must be holding God's word. Over the next 12 months, starting in January, we're going to have 12 unique themes that are going to drive our sermon series from January through December. And then I want to share those with you right now. And then I want to talk to you about how we're going to approach scripture memorization. Would you watch this video?
Money Matters to shaping God's resources with faith and wisdom. Built to last, God's design for marriage and the home. From death to life, the saving power of the cross and resurrection. Who I am, identity in Christ. Planted a growing a faith that lasts. Drawn near in a life of prayer and fasting. Stand firm, equipped for spiritual battle. Fully devoted, the life and practices of a disciple. Send me, living sent for the mission of God. Tell the story in the life of evangelism and outreach. Grateful, like living a life of thanksgiving. Christ has come.
So the plan is that over the next year, we'll walk through these rhythms, and each month we'll have a different sermon series that drives our understanding of God's word and pertinent themes related to God's word. But each week and every day, I want to encourage you to be rooted in God's word. We have written and we are publishing a curriculum, a material called Shaped by Scripture. Shaped by Scripture offers a Bible verse each week of the year with 2 weeks of break, mid-year and at the end of the year, encouraging you to memorize God's word and to understand God's word. And so we'll publish this per sermon series. So in December, we'll publish the January curriculum, and then later in January, we'll publish February and so on. But here's the plan. We'll provide a Bible verse that we encourage you to memorize it. On the first day, we'll share with you some background of the verse, and we'll explain the verse to you in this written material, and then we'll give you some prompts to begin learning the verse to help you exercise your memory and begin planting it in your heart. On the second day, we'll provide some context so that you understand the background of the verse. And we know here at Lone Oak that context is, right? So we don't want you to memorize a verse without understanding the verse. So we'll give you the context. On the third day, so on Wednesday every week, there'll be a small entry that explains to you the theology of the verse. What does this verse reveal to us about God, and how does this verse shape us the way that God would want us to be shaped? And then on the fourth day, which is Thursday, we'll have an entry that explains to you the personal application. Based on the context and the theology, how should this verse shape my life? What should I do with this information? And it'll guide you to understand what this verse means for you, where you are within context. And then on the fifth day, we'll have an opportunity for you to be prompted in finalizing your memorization, sealing your memorization, reinforcing your understanding. Now, this is going to be published in print. It'll be available to you every day through the app. We'll put it out just like a daily reminder. You can access it on the website, and we'll also have an audio version for those of you who just don't want to read but you want to listen. And so it'll be available. And then on Friday of every week, we're going to have a weekly podcast. Sometimes it'll just be me. Sometimes we'll have guests, sometimes we'll have others that are just going to talk about what that verse means and how it implicates itself on life. And then on Sunday, all right, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we sleep. Sunday, we're going to preach the passage. And again, the goal is just to continue working on it so that we can memorize Scripture and that we can hold to the Scripture and that we can be equipped with the Scripture. Because if we have the Scripture, but we're not holding the Scripture, then we're not ready to use the Scripture the way that God wants us to. So it's going to be a comprehensive approach for Scripture memorization. Let me introduce you to Shaped by Scripture.
Welcome to Shaped by Scripture, a series designed to help you plant God's Word deep in your heart so it can transform your life. Every day, we'll walk with you through God's Word, guiding you to memorize, understand, and apply Scripture in a way that strengthens your faith and shapes your daily walk with Christ. Here we believe when God's Word takes root in your heart, it changes everything, from the way you think, to the way you live, to the way you love others. So take a deep breath, open your heart, and let's journey together as we are shaped by Scripture.
I'm excited to share this resource with you, and we will distribute the first publication later in December. The second emphasis for 2026 is strengthen relationships. Now, this was an emphasis last year, and it's going to be an emphasis again this year. And there's two reasons why we must strengthen relationships in our church. One of them is exciting, and one of them is scary. So do you want the good news or the bad news first? Well, the good news is what I have prompted, so we're going with the good news first. It did sound like a flock of sheep down here, didn't it? I don't know if you could hear that. It was all these elementary age boys, maybe middle school, bad. Unbelievable. All right. Here's the good news. The good news, and this is why we have to focus on relationships. This past September, I received a letter that let us know that we were in the top 100 fastest growing churches in America. We are second, yeah. This organization, they study across all denominations. They fine-tune it to 10,000 churches that are showing extraordinary numeric growth, and then they begin just investigating week by week how attendance is, where baptism is, all of these different measurable metrics, and they concluded after several months of research that Lone Oak was one of the fastest-growing churches in America. And that's exciting. Like, our staff, our life group leaders, our volunteers, you are attending, like you're a part of what God is doing here at Lone Oak. And it's something to celebrate. I mean, it's incredible. Every year they put out the top 100 fastest growing churches list. And every year there's 100 churches on that list. But not every year are they the same 100 churches. And can I tell you why so many of those churches show up one year and then don't show up the next year? It's because they failed to be faithful stewards with what God entrusted to them. Listen, friends, we're not in the product business. We're not in a project business. We are in the people business because God has called us to make disciples. And we must focus on relationships. And when you get recognized, and it is true, there's so many folks that come to church now that are a part of it that weren't. Lone Oak today is, we have roughly 2,500 people that come at least two times a month. We see you about 1,400 at a time. It's an extraordinary growth, and we must focus on relationships so that we don't fail to honor those that have been coming forever, and we don't fail to recognize and assimilate those who are now coming. I don't want it to be a, do we take care of the old guard or do we take care of the newcomers? I want to be the pastor that takes care of all of the people God's entrusted me with. I don't see folks that have been coming here for decades and folks that have been coming here for weeks. I see Lone Oakers that I'm called to pastor and disciple. And so I want us to focus on relationships, bringing us together. You're all special, and I don't want church without any of you. I want church with all of you. Here's the scary thing, the scary reason that we have to focus on relationships. It's because of artificial intelligence. Do y'all know what AI is? Do any of y'all use it? How many of you are using it right now to record this message? Right there, I know you are, Kyle Jett. Artificial intelligence is an incredible tool. I use it all the time, all the time. I love AI. I'm not scared of it, but there's some real dangers that we have to be aware of, and the church needs to be aware of some of the dangers with artificial intelligence. One of the dangers of artificial intelligence is what it's doing to people socially. Used to be, if someone was spiritually sensitive or if they were a spiritual seeker, they would reach out to a Christian that they knew, someone that was regular in church. They would reach out to a pastor and say, hey, would you answer this question about this subject or that subject? And they would seek clarification on spiritual matters. But today, that's not the case. Instead of going to a Christian person or going to a Christian pastor, what they'll do is they'll just go to a chatbot and they'll say, answer this question. And the chatbot, if you know anything about AI, it's going to tell you whatever doesn't disappoint you. Sometimes it's truthful, but oftentimes it's unverified. And so today, because people are going to the artificial intelligence databases rather than going to people, relationships are suffering. And statistics will show this. Let me share with you a couple of statistics that have been published in just the past couple of years. There was one statistic from 2022 that said, that found that 40% of heavy AI companionship users experienced increased social withdrawal over time with a 30% reduction in real-world social engagement after 6 months of persistent use. So people that use AI for companionship, not just research, but when they use it as conversation, as they use it in relationships, whether it be for extended friendships or not, but people that use that, they see a significant decrease in social interactions, which means that people are turning to digital virtual relationships rather than authentic real relationships. They're spending more time online than they are offline. And the next statistic shows you the danger of that. Let's look at this. Longitudinal studies highlight that individuals who often use AI-driven chatbots, companions, or virtual assistants show diminished motivation to initiate face-to-face social interaction and develop weaker interpersonal communication skills. In other words, what happens is over time, people that are using AI chatbots or using AI companions, which is basically just having friends that you talk to online, but aren't real people, they're just computers. What happens is over time, those people become less initiated in starting relationships. They have a decline in their initiative to have face-to-face conversations. They're not as interested in real people conversations. And not only do they lose interest in that, but they lose their ability to have real conversations. The more you spend online talking or texting or typing to a computer agent, you're less inclined to talk to real people. And then when you do talk to real people, you've grown so unaccustomed to conversation that you're not good at it anymore. And as a result, you feel less interested in actually talking to people. So it's a slippery slope that just turns into a full-out fall. But friends, I want to tell you that artificial intelligence, for all of its benefits and all of its dangers, we have something that it will never be able to offer, and that is real relationships. The church has relationships. We don't have an endless amount of information. We don't have an ability to know, to communicate all things that have ever been published on the internet, but we do have relationships. We do have the ability to do what the devil has always sought to distract or to destroy, and that is to be together. This has always been the devil's plan, which is to distract and to separate. In the Garden of Eden, man and woman, husband and wife, they were together and they were walking with the Lord. So the serpent came in and he distracted them to divide them from God. But God showed up to the garden and he covered their sin so that they could be back in relationship with him. You see, the devil sought to divide, but God brought them back together. That's called to redeem. We get to the New Testament. Sin continues to divide the world. Sin continues to separate people from God and to separate people from one another. There's sin that separates us from God, and the consequences of sin is separation from one another. Sometimes the intent of sin is to separate us from one another, but Jesus Christ died so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be reconciled. And then for those of us who have received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, we have been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, what we should be about, church, is we should be about relationships, because that's what the gospel is about. The gospel is about buying us out of sin, restoring the relationship we have with God, and reconciling the relationships that we should have with brothers and sisters. And so, church, I can think of nothing else that should be the center of our emphasis for this coming year than relationships. We want people to know what relationships are. So we're planning a number of intentional offline events this coming year that I'm really excited about. We're going to have a chili cook-off, and it's going to be Western wear themed. Listen, we were talking about this as a staff, and we're like, we got to have a chili cook-off. And I said, I want everybody to dress up like cowboys and cowgirls. And they're like, I don't know about that, Brother Scott. And I was like, well, I'm the pastor, so that's what we're going to do. Listen, you don't have to dress up. You don't have to dress up. We need to remember that Christian community can be enjoyable. It can be fun. Why does the world get to have all the fun? Why do the fraternities and sororities get to have all the fun? Why can't we just enjoy ourselves? Why can't we just enjoy? It's okay. You may not know this, but you can be a happy Christian. Right? And y'all are like, that's what I told my kids this morning. We're driving to church. You're going to church, be happy. Smile. Listen, y'all, we're gonna have ice cream social. Hawaiian shirt style. You don't have to wear a Hawaiian shirt. I hope you wear a shirt, but you don't have to wear a Hawaiian shirt. We're gonna have an ice cream competition. I pushed for us to have a limbo competition, but my staff said it was a terrible idea. Something about hips and knees. I haven't figured it out. We're just going to, y'all, listen. This is what I want us to do. We will not compromise Christ-centered worship. We will not compromise Bible-based teaching. We will not compromise orthodoxy and truth. But we can maintain all of those and have a good time together. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that Peter stood and he preached under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. After he had finished preaching, 3,000 men, we don't know how many women, but 3,000 men got saved. In the very next verse, watch this. Very next verse, it said that they repented and they were baptized, and then they devoted themselves, check this out, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayers, and to the breaking of bread. In other words, after they got saved, they committed themselves to biblical teaching and to Christian community. Churches, we do so good with the biblical teaching, and we're not going to back off, but we have to bring up Christian fellowship. It's not one or the other. Theology, to be real, must be experienced in community. You can say, I believe these things. You can know all of the truth of God's word, which we're going to emphasize through scripture memorization. But you don't really know how you believe what you believe until you've experienced it within a community of faith. You're not really holding on to your doctrine and theology until it's been applied to your life. And the only way doctrine and theology can be applied to our life is when we've lived it out within community. Till we've tested it on the field. So we're going to spend some time together, and it's going to be awesome. Number three. Number one is scripture memorization. Number two is strengthening relationship. And number three is going to be spiritual gifts. How many of you have ever heard the term spiritual gifts before? Okay, very good. Over the next year, we're going to have an intentional time as a church to focus on spiritual gifts. Here's our statement for this coming year's emphasis. We aim to guide every believer to discover their gifts, to develop them with purpose, and to deploy them in ministry. So the whole church is built up and every member is equipped to serve. We aim to guide every believer to discover their gifts, develop them with purpose, and deploy them in ministry so the whole church is built up and every member is equipped to serve. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11 tells us that every Christian has a spiritual gift. It's a gracious gift from the Lord. The Bible says, as each has received a gift, anyone who has received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, had the Holy Spirit indwell them, every single one of you has a spiritual gift. Some of you have a few. Everybody has a spiritual gift. Use that gift to serve one another. Two terms. Ministry is serving in the church. Missions is serving outside of the church. Ministry is serving in the church. So the spiritual gifts are given to you to serve in the church, to serve your brothers and sisters. So everyone has a gift. We're to use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The emphasis here is that we want you to discover your spiritual gift, to develop in your spiritual gift, and then to deploy it to serve in the church. Have any of you ever served or been voluntold you're going to do something? You were told that you were volunteering for something in the church, and then you dreaded doing it, and then you showed up and you hated doing it, and then you left and hoped they had lost your number? I mean, have any of you ever had that experience? Like, you know that you should be serving. You're grateful that you get to serve a church. You're grateful that you belong to a church. But it's just a burden. You know what I mean? It's just an absolute burden to serve. Can I tell you why it hurts to serve? The reason that it's a burden to serve is not because you're doing the wrong thing. It's because you're not in the right place. As one author put it, you're on the right bus, but you're in the wrong seat. See, spiritual gifts are the unique ways that God has equipped you and gifted you to serve. And when we are serving within our spiritual gifts, it's not a burden, but it becomes a blessing. When you discover your spiritual gifts, the way that God made you, the way he created you, how you're interested, how you're gifted, how you uniquely contribute to the fellowship, when you discover that and develop those gifts, and then you deploy those gifts in ministry, no one has to ask you to serve. They have to hold you back because you can't get enough of it. And we want to help you find your place. We want to help you know how God created you uniquely so that you can serve how God has called you uniquely to serve. What you're going to discover in that is that serving is not a burden, it's a blessing. And I told my staff, if we will lead our church to discover, develop, and deploy their spiritual gifts, we'll never have to ask for a volunteer again. We'll never have to ask for another volunteer. There will be a wait list for every volunteer program that we have. And you're like, well, how can you be so confident? This is how I can be confident. I'm confident that if you know your spiritual gifts, you will want to serve for a couple of reasons. Number one, you'll have more fun serving than you've ever had before. It's a joyful thing. Public speaking's not great, but preaching when you're gifted as a preacher, it is so much fun. People are like, why do you preach so long? Because I'm having so much fun. I don't want it to end. You know, people that have the gift of serving, but like behind the scenes serving, they're like, why do you stay at the church so late? Why are you there every single day? And people are like, I just have so much fun doing it. Like, I love taking the garbage out. I love putting chairs away. I love straightening up. I love doing the things that nobody ever sees. Why do people put the time in? And we have folks here every single day of the year serving because they just love it. And why do they love it? Because they've been uniquely gifted in it. Friends, when you discover your gifts, you're going to find out you love serving the kingdom of God. And if you haven't loved it, that's a great indication that you were doing the right thing, but you were doing it in the wrong way. That's just not your gifting. And that's okay. I tell our team, and I hope I have told you, if you're looking to plug into the church, but you don't know where to start, just try something. And if it doesn't fit, just say, hey, listen, I'm really thankful for the opportunity, but I'm going to try something else. It's okay. We're not going to kick you out for long. And we'll let you come back is what I'm saying. We want to help you discover, but here's the final reason that I think that if you discover your spiritual gift, develop it, and then deploy it, that we'll never have to ask for volunteers again. Are you ready? This is the good part. That all is good stuff, but let me tell you the good part. In your faith, you can only grow so far in your walk with the Lord without exercising your spiritual gifts. If you come to church every week, praise the Lord, and you consume, you'll grow in your walk. If you come to church every week, consume, and then you go to a life group, you'll grow in your walk. But your growth will eventually plateau until you start using your gifts that God's given you to serve your brothers and sisters in the church. And when you discover your gifts, develop your gifts, and deploy your gifts, you will find your faith growing at such a rapid pace you won't be able to get enough of it. Some of you have been faithful to the Lord for years, but your faith feels plateaued. And I would ask you, are you exercising the gifts that the Lord has given you? And if you're not, I want to encourage you to buy in this next year so that you can discover your gifts, you can deploy those gifts, and you can experience walking with the Lord in a way that you've never experienced before. It'll change your life. And we want to invite you to come and be a part of that over the next 12 months. Listen, this is our commitment. Tonight at 6:30, we're going to kind of put a capstone on the commitment by celebrating Jesus Christ. We're going to have Lord's Supper at 6:30 right here in the sanctuary. I'd invite all of you to come and be a part of that. And one of the reasons that we're having Lord's Supper on this particular day is we want to make sure that we don't forget that as a church, this isn't about a product. This isn't about a process. This is about people. And the reason that we're called to people is because God sent his only son to seek and to save the lost. And everything that we do will be done under the umbrella of the body and blood of Jesus Christ that was given for us. I don't want to do anything outside of that. I don't want to do anything outside of that. And so tonight we're going to have communion and we're going to remember that the reason that we exist is because Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. I want to invite you to be a part of that. Right now though, I've shared with you what our plan is for 2026. I hope it's good. I hope you like it because we're going to do it anyway. But I want to ask you, will you commit? Like, we're making a commitment for this next year. We've been working on this since February. An extraordinary amount of time has been put into developing a vision so that our church doesn't have a funeral, but that our church could have a future. But I want to ask you, have you committed? Have you committed? Are you willing to commit? You know, in this day and age, people are less inclined to join a church than at any other point in history. They're less inclined to join the church. And some people say, well, why do I even need to join? I attend, I give, I participate. Why do I need to join? Well, that's a valid statement, but let me tell you why you should commit. Your commitment lets us know that we can depend on you, and it lets you know that you can depend on us. Like, it's really hard for us to work with you, to disciple you over a long period of time if we don't know if you're going to be here, if you're going to be somewhere else. But when you join the church, you're saying, As far as I'm concerned, this is my church and I'm here until God moves me somewhere else. And when we know that you're committed, we know to commit to you. So why should you join the church? You should join the church so that we can count on you and that you can count on us. Have you committed? If you've not joined the church and said, I'm in, I'd like to ask you to do that today. During the invitation, you can step out, come down the aisle, take me or one of the ministers by the hand and say, hey, we're ready to join the church, or I'm ready to join the church. And let's talk to you about becoming a member of the church and putting your yes on the table. But more important than that, I want to ask you, have you committed to Jesus Christ? Friends, hear me. I hope that this message, this presentation today has been encouraging. I hope it's been inspirational. I hope it's really stirred you. I don't want you to memorize scripture to strengthen relationships or discover your spiritual gifts if you don't first know Jesus Christ. The rest of it is just in vain if you don't know the Savior that gave his life for you. So would you make a commitment to Jesus which says, I know I'm a sinner that needs salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save me, and I'm going to surrender my life every day from this point forward to following him. Start with that commitment, and then let's do these other things together. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never gone public as one who is pursuing Jesus with all of your life, I want to invite you right here, right now, to step out of your seat and to come down the aisle. We're going to stand right now, if you would. I'm going to invite Brother Mark and the team to come forward. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. At the close of that prayer, if you need to make a commitment today to join the church, to become a Christian, to be baptized, after this prayer, when we begin singing, I want to invite you to step out and step forward. Don't wait. But as soon as we begin, would you step out and would you step forward? Father, thank you for the day that we've had. Thank you for allowing us to come together. Thank you for helping us to worship you. Thank you for the vision that you've given me and our team to guide our church forward. Lord, we pray that you bless all of it as you've blessed us by giving it to us. Father, I ask for your help now, though. We cannot launch out on this new year until we've made the commitment. We've communicated, but now, Lord, we must commit. So, Lord, any man or woman, teenager, child, perhaps a single adult or a family, God, if you've led them to the point of committing, I pray, God, that you would lead them to follow through in obedience to that call. Help us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The invitation is open. Who needs to respond?